Well, it'd be good if you'd pray for me. I'd like to start in the 39th Psalm. The first few verses of this psalm makes me to think of a man that is desiring to serve the Lord, an honest soul, because it seems like that there's a battle in this, a real struggle, and I find only honest souls really get into these kind of struggles. People that don't care don't struggle like this. It makes me to think of Brother Jim White, lived up our way, and he got down to the end of his life, and he started really getting serious with the Lord. He was always serious with the Lord to me, but it took on a whole different thing with him. He began to really seek God for every moment, every word, he looked through his life. He took heed to his life. He looked at his life, and he called me one day and asked me to come over. He wanted to talk to me, so I went over to his house, and he started telling me about something that a controversy he had got into with someone, and he felt like maybe he had said some things that maybe he shouldn't have said, he said that he really would like to make that better. And I said, "Well, Brother Jim, when did you do this?" And he said, "Oh, it's been over 40 years ago. Over 40 years ago." But he was wrestling with this. He wanted to be sure. He wanted to be right. And this psalm is kind of that way to me. It's talking, or the first part of it, it's talking about, I think, somebody that's in a battle. Starts out by saying, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." I want to take heed to my ways. I'm going to watch my actions. I know that it's wrong to, act ugly. I know it's wrong to throw things at people. I know it's wrong to do wrong. I know I'm supposed to love them. I know I'm supposed to. And I'm going to take heed to my ways. I'm going to make sure in this battle that I'm doing what I'm supposed to, that I'm supposed to be doing, because I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But sometimes it's hard to do what you know you're supposed to do. And he's saying, so I'm going to have to take heed to this. And I'm going to have to watch my tongue, because the first place that goes in this whole thing is usually the tongue. It's usually I'm going to slip up somewhere and give a little bit of an inkling of my disappointment. I'm going to let something out of my heart. I'm going to do something. So I'm going to put a bridle on it. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to guard it. I'm going to try to take care of it. I've got the wicked before me. I've got injustice maybe before me. I've got hurts maybe before me. I've got somebody that's coming against me. Somebody that wants to make me look bad. Somebody wants to tear me down. Maybe they don't, but it's the way I feel like it. And I'm going to have to guard my actions. I'm going to have to guard my feelings. And so that's what he was saying. Lord, I'm going to take heed to my ways. I'm going to watch my mouth. I was dumb, he said, with silence. I held my peace, just like I said I would. I just kept quiet. He said, even from good. And my sorrow was stirred. And then my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue. My heart started getting hot within me. Remember, there's a battle going on here. And now my heart starts getting hot, starts getting warmed up. I was musing. I was meditating. I was considering. I was thinking on it. And the fire started burning. Now the allusion here is, and I've heard this, and maybe some of you farmers can verify this, but I've heard that if you put hay bales up too green, that they can catch the barn on fire. Because what they start doing, they start Well, they start composting. They start producing heat as they compost. It puts off heat, and they start putting off heat. And if the inside of it gets hot enough, then it can actually light up, and you can burn the barn down. And the illusion in this is that it's like green vegetation composting. And think of the analogy here. As something starts breaking down, as my fortitude for God starts breaking down, as my spirituality starts breaking down, as my desire to do right starts breaking down, my heart starts getting hot. And as I start musing on, is anybody relating yet? As I start musing, you ever muse? You ever start thinking and then you start warming up a little bit inside? You start realizing more and more. You start thinking more and more about things and things are starting to work and things are starting to get going. And the more your resolve in the Lord starts breaking down, the more your spiritual life's breaking down. The more your love for God, you're not thinking about that. The more you're putting that aside, the more you're breaking down, the hotter you're getting, the hotter it starts getting. Folks, you're about to burn the barn down. There's something really going to happen here now. This is a bad place to be in. He had said, I'm going to be keep my mouth shut. I'm going to be quiet about good. I'm not going to say anything about anything. I'm just going to ride this one out. I'm going to do right, act right. And he started thinking, and the mind's like that. And the more he thought, the hotter things started getting. And the worse he goes. And now it's time, he says, to open his mouth. Then I spake with my tongue. And he says, Lord, make me to know my end. Now, if you was to look this up and probably study this out, you would find some that is referring to this as saying that what David was talking about was that he was whining. And he was saying, how long am I going to have to be in this battle? But I don't think so. I think what he was saying was that this was getting hot and I'm about to burn the barn down. Lord, get me focused back. Have you ever done that before? And you come to the realization that this ain't right. This isn't working. I've got the wrong way in here. And he says, I'm opening my mouth now. And what I'm saying is, Lord, help me to know my end. If God would help you and I to realize, really realize, we know this. But we don't focus on it very much. We don't really allow it to be something that drives our life, that we understand this, that we have it ever before our face. And you know what's ever before our face? This life's too short to burn your barn down. It's too short to allow the bitternesses and these things of people and the injustices. Life is too short. Lord, I forgot something in all this. I'm forgetting something. I'm looking at life as only this world and only me and all those things. And Lord, I need refocused. So Lord, help me to see my end. Help me to realize that, folks, we know this. Life's short, isn't it? Isn't it short? Well, it seems to me like that if you got a few years, man, it's a long way. That's a long ways off. Boy, they sure are cranking up fast. They just seem like they're going so fast. Just keep going and going. Oh, Lord, help me, he says. Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is. That I may know how frail I am. You know, I could burn my barn down real easy in this. I could lose my soul real easy in this. And it got to a point, I've got to have some relief. You ever get to the point that you say, Lord, I've got to have some relief in this. I can't get it off my mind. It keeps wearing on me. I can't get it off. I'm musing, and the more I'm musing, the worse off I get. The more depressed I get, the more uncomfortable I am with people. The other thing, Lord, I need you to refocus me about this thing. And you know what? The Lord wants us to have an understanding about this life. How many people burn their barn down, so to speak? Get so mused, go round over things that don't really matter at all. In the whole scope of life, what difference does it really make? Somebody parked in my spot and I get the musing. Somebody sat in my seat and that gets me stirred up. Somebody has dishonored me somewhere. Somebody has said something. People are doing things. And if it's not there, something will well up. Somebody who's going along and road rage is real, going along out there and all of a sudden, and listen, you all just have to forgive me. I do these things and make people mad. I don't do it on purpose. It's just bad driving. But they get mad. And it looks like they're wanting to kill all of us. It's okay. Listen, it's okay. We're not here long enough for all that. We're not here enough to have a disturbance with everything. But we get so off focus with this. And we get them musing and thinking. And our prayer should be, Lord, focus me back to the reality. Help me to realize my days are numbered anyway. So if I outdo you, I'm dying anyway. I know my life is not last. I know there's going to be a time I'm going to have to lay it all down. What difference does it make if I go and we've argued over a few bucks and maybe I get it out again and I go into eternity with it in my hand? I'm not going into eternity with it in my hand. I'm going to lay it down. It doesn't matter. Oh, how much it doesn't matter. Yeah, he's in a battle here and he's watching himself and he's doing this and I feel this situation so much. I've been here so many times. And to add to say, Lord, refocus me into a real understanding about what this all is, because I want to tell you something about, I want you to think about it, this life. It says, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And in the ancient world, there was different ways of measuring. And I don't remember them all, but there was a hand's breadth. That's a hand's breadth. It was the smallest of the measurements. It was a hand's breadth. Then there was, what was it? Something from here to here. Then it was a cubit. There was spans, whatever, all these things that they measured. But it had to do with bodies. Here, from here to here, and then these distances from here to here. These was all measurements that they'd done. It was a relative, but it was a measurements that they used. And of all the measurements, he said, I'm a hand's breadth. That's all that I'm out to. One span. That's all I cross. My whole existence is just a little while here. And if we're not careful, we get it in our minds and get some kind of idea, even as good Christians following the Lord, we get so earthbound sometimes that we make so many things important. And the Lord said, my whole life is vanity altogether. It's altogether vanity. Lord, help us. Now, I want to come back to this scripture, but I want to go to the 90th Psalm a minute. It says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction. You know what that means? That destruction meant dust. And what it's saying is that God turns man. In other words, you know, we look at it and say, it was a car wreck that took their life. It was cancer that took their life. Or it was a heart condition that took their life. No, that's God's way. God uses all those things and He turns His hand. You know, God says that He does that. We look at it so much different. But God said He took the whole credit for it. God turns His hand. That's what it says. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Some say that 1,000 years on this is just time enough for the angels to make one change of guard. It's altogether different, folks. We look at this world altogether different than the factual world of eternity. You know, we think that this is real. And that some way is mystical. It's a vapor in our minds. Eternity, I mean, heaven, it's kind of out there. It's kind of a mist to us. It's not clear. You know, that couldn't be further from the truth. The truth is that's real. And this is kind of an illusion. It really is kind of an illusion. The Bible says that it's like a vapor, and I've always looked at that to say that it appears for a little while and vanishes away, just like a vapor does. But if you look a little bit further, maybe he's trying to say a little bit more in that. That vapor is, there's nothing much to it. Really don't amount to anything. Think of this. In time, we have past, present, and future. You right now are in the present. This is the present. In all the past that you can think of, think about it. It's only a thought. It's gone. It's a thought. It's you can add things to that thought or take it away. I do it sometimes. I think back and say, oh, what if I'd have done such and such? And running around and I never did it, but I could have done it. But I never done it. But it's just this real in my mind, or it don't make any difference because it's just a thought anymore anyway. You understand what I'm saying? And the future is what? A thought. It's a thought. You sure you got one? What's the future going to be? Right now, you all tell me what the future's going to be. You don't know what the future's going to be. You don't know how much future there is to be. And you know that there's eternity don't have time. There's no past, present, and future. Then what is it? It's all reality. This world, we're right in the present, and everything else is kind of an illusion in our minds. I don't want to confuse you about things. I just want to tell you, we put so much emphasis on this illusion. We put so much emphasis on us living forever, doing well, doing all these things, and it's not even real. It doesn't last very long. It's transient. It's transient. It'll move on you. The ground will move right out from under you. You can make wealth and lose it all overnight. Back in the 20s, people had great wealth. There was all this, and the markets crashed, and there was millionaires one day and paupers the next. Many of them jumped out windows and hung themselves, shot themselves, couldn't deal with it, as if there's nothing else but this life. How foolish. There's much more than this life. Don't get depressed about this life, folks. This thing's vanity. This life is such vanity anyway. Lord, help us to focus on the eternal. I know it's a battle because I battle it. I know I battle it too, and I have to many times say, that doesn't matter. Marty, it doesn't matter. Let it go. It doesn't matter. You're not here long enough to make that matter. It's an illusion anyway. So he says, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are asleep in the morning, and that's what the idea of it is. It's like a sleep. Sleep happens and goes so fast. And what are you in the middle of that sleep? Think about it. It's as a sleep. What, you dream dreams that ain't even real. You think that things happen in the dream, in the night. It's like a sleep. A man's life is like sleep. And we make so much out of it at times. Lord, help us to get the right focus. And when we get into the battles, folks, listen. When we get into the battles, it should be our first thought. Not to keep my mouth shut. We can keep it shut about some things, but we should open it up to the Lord. We should speak out to the Lord and say to the Lord, Lord, help me to see my end. Help me to have an understanding of my days. Help me to number my days and make the best out of those days, because it's so limited here. I've had things happen before that I thought was such a big deal. Oh, and it hurt me, or just thinking or worried about that thing, or in a couple of days, it had vanished like smoke. I was just worried myself sick over it, and it just went away like smoke. I said, where did it go? Where was the result? It never happened at all. It didn't even come true. It's like a sleep. And he said that he carries them away like with a flood. Oh, folks, how many people is going to go out into eternity tonight? In this country, in this world, it's like a flood being carried away. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening time it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Back to this 39th Psalm. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who that shall gather them. You know, so true. Speak of my dearly departed grandpa. My grandpa on my dad's side was well known by those around him and his family to be quite miserly. I'm not judging his soul. I'm just telling you that's a fact. Grandpa was miserly. And I used to notice him because he would come offering time and he would squeeze this little change. Remember the little change purses people used to carry? I don't know, they don't see them much anymore, but used to be a little thing you put the change in. Grandpa would squeeze that thing and whatever he could get between those three fingers is what he had put in the offering. Now this man at this time was worth, I mean, he had well over $100,000, and everybody did, and he could squeeze down in there and he'd do that. And when he got a $1 bill out of his pocket, boy, he really walked up there. He was a miserly man. You know what was something? My grandpa believed in the things of God, though. He didn't believe in drinking and smoking and doing all those kind of things. I thought it was so ironic when my grandpa died. He left his money, of course, to his children that drank and smoked and took the money and went and done what he would never have done with it. How valuable was that? I mean, honestly, how valuable is that? That is completely out of focus. That is completely missing it into my mind. It's that the scripture says that you can do it. I mean, you can get those things. I mean, he heapeth up riches. He knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what waiteth I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thy hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. For I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Now listen to this. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. His prayer was, that he was saying, Lord, I don't want to leave like this. I don't have the kind of victory that I ought to have. I have mused on this until it's burning. I have seen things in a wrong way. I've acquired things in my life. And I can look and now say they're vanity. I got great things, but none of them done anything for me. I've spent my days, I've run my days, I've done all these things. I've kept my mouth quiet and tried to accomplish things, and none of it worked. And so now, Lord, I got a prayer. Spare me, O Lord. Give me the time and the opportunity and the grace to get me the strength and the ability to be what you would have me to be before I am no more. Lord, help me to accomplish this in my life. I've come to those kind of places, not to say before I ever was, but listen, I've seen this before. I've told this before, but back when I worked in surveying, I had a young man that worked with me, and bless his heart, he was the biggest trial ever. I actually got to, I hated to see him coming. I hated to see him on the job. He was foolish. You couldn't hardly get him to do what he was supposed to do. He was just a trial. He was a trial. I apologized to him over and over. I would get on him, and then I'd say, I'm sorry I got on to you, but you need to do that. Over and over, it was just this conflict with this young man. And he come to me, and he come one day and said, Marty, I'm gonna take a job trucking. I'm gonna put in my notice, I'm gonna take a job trucking. When he first said that, I said, good, that's what you need to do. That's what I was thinking. You need to go trucking. Trucking's perfect for you. But I was on my way home that day, and I got to thinking about it, and I was saying, Lord, no. If he goes, I'm never going to be able to say I had victory. I'm always going to wonder why I didn't have more victory than I had with him. And I started praying, Lord, don't let him spare me, oh Lord, spare me. Allow him to stay until I can have the kind of grace that he can go away with and I can be sure. And you know, the Lord did. The Lord left him there for quite some time. We'd become very good friends. So much so that when he was in the area, and he lived a long way from me, but sometimes he'd be passing nearby, that he would come and visit me at my house. He invited me to his wedding, went to his wedding. We become very good friends in that time that the Lord gave me to pray my way through and to get the kind of victory that I knew. I want to tell you, but I've done a lot of music. And I want to tell you, I about burned the barn down a number of times on that. It'd get so hard. I was so disgusted by having him work with me. I was just so hard onto that. But you know what? I'm glad today that I had the opportunity for the Lord to help me to see something. I don't want to face God knowing that there's a relationship that never worked back there. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to be able to get that right. And I'm glad that He did. Oh, spare me, Lord. Give me the time to be able to get the strength that I want to have here. To get my heart back till it isn't on fire and burning. But if it's burning, it's with the love of God. It's burning, it's burning with a real concern for those around me. Life's too short, folks. This isn't going to get you anywhere. We need to get the focus on the eternal. We need to get the focus on God's grace and what God wants to do for us in life. Do you know God? The gospel, the New Testament has been founded on persecution and problems? It has. It come through great persecution to be founded as what we know it to be. And it was necessary that it be that way. And it took men that was willing to look over that, over top of, look beyond and look into heaven. Oh, we put so much emphasis on the conflict. We put so much on what somebody's doing. What difference does it really make for eternity? I remember a very impressive statement that I heard when I was first saved, and I'd just come out with the saints, and I was at Brother and Sister Salmon's house. And there was a comment about somebody said something to Sister Salmon's, and I remember the response she had, because like I said, I was new. I hadn't heard this kind of things. The people that I was with did not talk like this. And she said, I remember her saying, "The Lord is not going to judge me for what she says about me. The Lord is going to judge me about what I say about her." And I remember that being so impressive and so true. It witnessed to me. That is right. God isn't going to hold me responsible for what the world does to me, but it's going to hold me responsible for what I do. And I want to say, like I said, because we can have grace, the grace of God, we can overcome all these things. Lord, help us. This being the last night of this revival, I pray that the Lord would refocus us in any area we need refocused and have a single purpose and goal that I want to make heaven. That's what I'm striving for. I will not be deterred by the devil's little tricks and things to sidetrack me, to get my heart musing, to get me burning over something, get me going over something, but I am going to go right on through. Lord, help me. To refocus, get our eyes steadfast. There was a time in the scripture where that Jesus come, and He told His disciples to go, and He was on shore, and it was, the sea was, rolling, and Jesus comes to them walking on the water. You remember the story? Jesus comes walking on the water, and they look, and they see, and they said, "A spirit," and they cried out. I can only imagine that. They were scared. "A spirit, something's going on here. It's unusual and that." And Jesus said, "Be not afraid." And Peter says to Him, "Lord, if it be You, bid me to come to You." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter starts walking on the water. What an amazing thing. He walks on the water. And we've used this analogy a lot of times. But he went walking on the water. But something happened. He got out of focus. You can't walk on the water. And a lot of times we have these things that we're overcoming, but then we realize, well, you can't do that. You can't love somebody when they're being that mean to you. You get your eye. But while he had his mind and heart and eyes on Jesus, he was doing fine. But when he looked and seen how turbulent the sea was, his faith failed him. He started dropping, started going. The same things are going to happen to us, folks. When we start losing that part of us and we start hanging on to the other, it's like lighting the hay bales up. The more it starts corroding and corrupting, the more heat's performed in there, and the more we get off track with things. And we should cry out at that moment, Lord, get me back on track. And you know him, he cried out and the Lord reached his hand down and said, Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you allow the things around you to get you? I am more than enough for you. Keep your eyes on me. Folks, keep your eyes on Jesus. He's got more than enough for you. You keep your eyes on Jesus and you'll have grace for these things. Lord, help us to do it because he's got it for us. Another scripture I just want to touch on, and I just want to mention a little bit of it, but I want to get one. It's in Judges, the 16th chapter and before, but it's the story of Samson. We all know the story, I think, fairly well. Samson had a Nazarite vow on him. He had a certain gift that he had, and he was certain things he wasn't supposed to. I don't think he's supposed to drink wine and different things, but he wasn't supposed. And his long hair, he had a hair. His hair was not to be cut, and the Spirit of the Lord would come on him. Now he would have a duty to do, and the Spirit of the Lord would come on him, and he's always depicted. Samson's always depicted by this big guy with rolling. Big shoulders, rolling biceps and all that. The Bible doesn't say that because we get it in our image because he was the strongest man and all this. And we get that image because we relate that to it. But I think it would be more impressive if he was a little skinny fella. That's what I think. Maybe Samson was a little skinny fella. What difference does it make if the Spirit of the Lord comes on you? It ain't about human capability anyway. It's about the power of the Lord. It ain't about our power. What can we do anyway? Get off focus so many times. We want to say he's a big guy with muscles because we understand the human elements of it. I don't mean that was anything about it. If it doesn't say it was, I ain't going to take it. I'm going to think he's a little fella and he's a little scrawny fella. And how impressive it was for a little scrawny fella to whoop 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, and how impressive it was for that little fella tore the gate off of the city, took the post and everything. That little fella did it. Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord was on him and he done it. But he had a special gift, right? But he also had a weakness. He had a weakness. For one thing, his power and ability made him think he was invincible. You know, people get like that. We lose the focus about how much we need the Lord when we have capabilities of our own. When we feel like we can do something, we can lose the focus on the Lord so much by that. When we feel like we can accomplish something, I'm smart enough to tell you something. You come to me and I'll tell you the answers because I'm a smart guy. Oh, how often we fail when we get to thinking like that. And Samson had a weakness of that. I think he thought he was invincible and he started flirting around with things. You know what he done. He started with women. He liked the Philistine woman. He went down and got him a Philistine. And he went down and got a woman. He shouldn't have had her. He went and got her. Her name was Delilah. And he fell in love with Delilah. She probably was a beautiful woman. Says that, but it probably obviously that he thought she was. He got her and she starts toying with him. About that, you know, folks, listen, that the gifts we have of God are to be cherished. They're to be cherished. They're valuable to you and everybody around you. They're to be valued. We should love what God does for us because he's doing it for us. He's giving it to us. It's ours in God. We should appreciate that. We shouldn't be like Esau that despised his birthright. God gave Esau the birthright. He should have loved that birthright. He shouldn't have despised it. He should have loved it. This is mine and you can't have it. I wouldn't sell it for a bowl of beans. I ain't going to give it for nothing. This is God. This is my heritage. Well, Samson had something like that on him. Something God gave him. Something God was doing for him. And he's so, just let it go. He let somebody take it from him. He should never have. But he did. And he failed. And in that failure, you remember the story, in that failure that was there, and she finally tricks him and he tells her all the heart and he lays there in her lap and he has somebody come and cut his hair off, and then she says, the Samson, the Philistines are on you, and he gets up and he's going to shake himself like he always did. And he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. He didn't know that it was gone. They take him captive and put his eyes out. The old devil's mean. Puts his eyes out and now they're making sport of him. You know, they did that back then. You have to realize what the situation was. When they had God, see, there was the God of Israel and there was the God of the Philistines and the gods of the Canaanites and all that. They all had gods. And they was praying to their gods too. And they were saying things like, deliver this Samson into our hands. And they was making sacrifices and saying, this Samson, deliver him into our hands, almighty gods, and all these things. And all of a sudden they get him. That's pretty real, isn't it? Well, it was to them. It was real to them. Their gods had delivered, and their gods had outdone the mighty God of Israel. You know, every time we burn a barn down, folks, it allows people to say, God ain't real. There ain't no God there. God ain't doing anything. God is witnessed through our performance in Him. God is witnessed by His working in our lives and showing the world who He is through us. Through supernatural things that humans don't attain to. By loving your enemies and doing right. And overcoming the human problems that can't be overcome any other way. You can look at the psychology and they'll try to do this. They might try to medicate you. They might try to get you into certain things. But the real change, nobody claims it. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's a God that makes a change in our lives. There's a God that can make the changes that need to be made into our life a permanent change that changes us from the old man to the new one. We don't have to be that old man anymore. Well, here's Samson. He loses the precious thing. And his hair starts growing back. The significance of that you can figure, but this is what the scripture says. I'm going to pick it up 23rd, 16th chapter, 23rd verse. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered unto our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord. Oh, he's blind, making sport of him, powerless. It's time to open your mouth. Lord, help us that when we get in it, we can always open our mouth. We can always look to the Lord. Before you burn your barn down, look to the Lord. Before you allow these elements of humanity, these things that belong to us and to from covetousness to greed to jealousies to bitternesses to those things that humans have in abundance. Before you allow them to attack you and take over you, open your mouth to the Lord. Go and seek the Lord for the answer of these things. God is a can change our lives. God can give us strength and change these things about us. Don't allow yourself to be out of focus. Things will happen. You might get a new car and somebody might sideswipe you. And they might keep going. And it might upset you. And you might keep your mouth shut and grit your teeth and act right. And then you probably will start musing. If you muse long enough, you can go to bed and you're musing and you're still musing about 3 o'clock. Things is heating up. Things is going to heat up. Oh, you're sitting in service and you're sitting there. I remember it happened to me one time. I was sitting in service and somebody got up and it sounded to me like that they was talking about me. That's what I talked about. That's what it sounded like to me. They were talking about me. And I got to thinking about it. They talking about me. That's what I said. They're talking about me. What are they talking to me about like that for? That's what I started saying. I started musing about it. The more I mused about it, the hotter I started getting. Because they was talking about me. I know they was talking about me. And then I talked to the Lord about it. And you know the Lord gave me a different perspective. Wasn't talking about you. And that was a beautiful thought. If you'll just look at what they was... And you know, I started thinking, and the Lord turned me around and I said, you know, that was really a beautiful thought when I got old Marty out of it. So I testified the next Wednesday, because I wanted to beat the devil on it, so I testified the next testimony. I had something wrong. I thought somebody was talking about me, and they wasn't talking about me. And that was a beautiful thought that they had. Well, things happen. It happened to me. Maybe it happens to you too. What I recommend it is don't let your barn burn down. Don't get so heated in your heart that you catch a flame. Talk to the Lord about it. And I'm going to say this even more, because we don't know the shortness of life. We ought to focus on that instead of the other thing. I'm going to want to be true in this, and I need a good run and start for it. So I got ahead of momentum gone, and I don't need to slow down now. And this is going to get me slowed down. And what he said over in the 39th Psalm, spare me, O Lord, till I can get my strength back. Before I leave and don't exist anymore. And here's what Samson said. He said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Well, you know the story. Samson is mentioned in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. It was always puzzling to me. I always looked at Samson and said, he sure was a failure. Well, he was a failure. Look what he gave up, his gifts and all that stuff happened to him. He was a failure. He looked like a failure to me. But you know, this was an act of faith. This was an act of faith that recorded his name in the 12th chapter of Hebrews in that great list of faith. Samson's name is mentioned there. I don't think it was mentioned there because he took the city gate off or whooped those Philistines. I don't think it was there for the things he did with the foxes and all the things that he did. I don't think it was any of that. I think that this moment right here where he prayed, strengthen me, Lord, that I can get before I go forever. I want a testimony for the Lord. Lord, help us that we would have this testimony in our lives. One of faith. Over in Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 13th verse says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You know, that stands by itself, but it don't have to stand by itself here. This is all in the same notion, I believe, of Jesus is answering them that when he answered them about the destruction of Jerusalem that did happen in about 70 AD when Vespasian, the emperor of Rome, sent and besieged the city. Titus, the general, which is his adopted son, goes and encircles the city and besieges the city. And this is in all this element here. And the Lord said to them that all of this persecution, all this problem, all this stuff that coming, all the unsettled life around them and all the things that they're going to be facing and all the thoughts that they could have and all the musing that they could have about how they was being treated bad and the government was bad and the people were bad and the Jewish nation was bad and they was all against and all everything was against them and the Christians was trying to survive. And the Lord said right there, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Get your focus in the right place. Don't allow these things to just light you up and burn you out. Get you in the same place, because he that endureth to the end, when you come through these trials, when you come through these difficulties, and you come out there and you still have faith in God, you still have the love of God in your heart, you're still what God would have you to be through it all, you've won, brother. You've won. Gotta do it to the end, all the way to the end. You know, the old devil's gonna try to sidetrack you. I'd be willing to say that everybody in this room that lives very much longer than this day is going to be done wrong by somebody. And if they're not, you think they are. You're going to have to face it one way or the other. You're going to think something's happened. And what are you going to do with that? I would recommend that you do this. That you get your eyes on Jesus. And truly, we say this a lot, but I wonder how much we do. But truly, pray your way through and pray for them. Pray for all of us. Pray for everybody. Get it right. Get it going and get to say, I'm going to get my eyes in heaven where I should be, because this life is too much. It's just too short to get sidetracked by all these things that's happening. I feel like I'm going good and the Lord's blessing and all this, and somebody makes a little offhanded comment and then I'm down and out and gone. And Lord help. There was a prophet in the scriptures that had his great competition with the prophets of Baal. The Lord come through. He prayed this nice little prayer. Lord, show yourself to be God, that there's a God in Israel, and I'm your servant. He prayed a little prayer like that, and the fire come down and consumed it, and it was a great victory, and all the people saw it, and it was one of those hallelujah moments. And then he gets to musing. Queen made a threat and said that he had killed the prophets and said he's going to be just like the prophets and we're after him. And so he takes off, and after that great victory, now he's hid away and musing. He's getting the burning and the feeling sorry for himself. Got it high, going, they're treating me bad and I'm the only one left and all those kind of things, and got himself down into a stupor. And the Lord comes by and says, no, you don't. No, you don't. Come on. Get up out of there. I got something for you. I got something more for you. You're not done yet. Come on up out of there. Lord, help us to get our minds, our hearts, where they really belong. This life is too short, folks. It's too short. Oh, I can think back in my life. You know, I can think of today. I remember back when I was, I just got out of school, and I'd say, yeah, I remember what my locker combination was. A year later, I could still tell you. I had 4 years of high school, and I could tell you all 4 years what, I could tell you what class I had and what period and what I did. I could tell you that. And then a few years later, I could still tell you what classes I had, what my teachers was, and who was in the class. And I could tell you what my locker combination was. I could tell you all that stuff. And I barely remember what school I went to now. I mean, all of that is so gone. I went to Webster County High School. I mean, I know I did it, but it's leaving me so much. I don't remember the teachers in the class hardly anymore. I definitely don't remember who I was in school with. And all those things, and it's gone away. And you know what? I look back. Well, it ought to be that way. I graduated when I was 18 years old, just before I turned 18, and I'm 54 years old. I have to start realizing something. That was a long time ago. But it seems so short. It seems so short. I'll say something about the 80s to my children, and they think I'm talking about some kind of ancient history way back in time. That wasn't that long ago. That was in our lives. 80s ain't that long time ago. But that's the way life is, folks. Lord, help us to focus it in. We're all here but a short time, and we've got a duty to do. It's the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. I've got one last scripture before I end. It's one of my favorite ones. It's in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. It's Apostle Paul speaking, 6th verse. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." What made him so confident? He sounded like he was confident. Do you doubt his confidence? I don't doubt his confidence. I think he said it. I think he meant it. Yeah, I'm ready. He said, "I'm now ready. I'm ready to be offered. My time has come. The Lord's chosen this. I ain't kicking against this. That's realer over there than it is here. I've lived this life here, and I've lived it for the Lord, and now I'm ready to go on. I got a full persuasion of it over there." And then he says this, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to you too." To you too. And all the way down the history, for everyone that, them that love His appearing, for everyone that love His appearing, He's still got the same promise to us. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. And through it all, every time there was something come against me that would cause me to muse, I got the victory. Every time that a false apostle would rise up, I got the victory. Every time I was whipped by them old Roman lashes, I got the victory. Every time I was hungry and wasn't, I got the victory. When it looked like the own saints turned their back, I got the victory. I looked at it as the Lord, and I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and at the end of it, I would say, the faith that the Lord Jesus gave me at the start, I'm bringing it back to Him. I've got it in a full measure, and I'm still here, and my heart's in the right place. That is the enduring to the end. Folks, we all need to make sure that we endure to the end. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.